Very important verses. John chapter 2, verse 23. Please look at it carefully in your Bible. During the Passover feast, many people believed in Jesus' name, observing the signs which he was doing. Believing means they committed themselves to him. Let's read it like that. They saw the signs, the miracles Jesus did, and they committed themselves to him. But he did not commit himself to them. You know what it's like? At a wedding, a person conducting the wedding asks the woman, "Would you like to marry this man?" She says, "Yes." Asks the man, "Would you like to marry this woman?" He says, "No." You ever been in a wedding like that? That's what's happening here. They say, "We want to commit ourselves to you, Lord." The Lord says, "I don't want to commit myself to them." That's what it says here. They committed themselves to him, but he would not commit himself to them. Why? Because it says he knew what was in them. Because he did not need anyone to testify concerning man, because he knew what was in them. Why does this, at the wedding, this man say, "I don't want this woman"? Because he knows what is in her. He knows that she is not totally committed to him. She's got some interest in other things, on other people. He can see through that this woman is interested in some other man also. Not just me. Would you marry a woman who is interested in some other man also, just one other man? You'd also say no. Supposing she says, "I'm interested in only one other man." Would you marry a woman who says, "I'll be with you every day of the year except one day. Please let me be with that other man one day of the year"? Would you marry him? Would you marry her? No. The Christian life is a marriage. And Jesus wants to be married only to those who are committed to him every single day of the year, every single hour. Would you marry a woman who says, "One hour in a year, can you let me be with another man?" You say no. Are you so exclusive in your marriage? Well, I want to tell you, Jesus also is. He will not spare you even 1 hour in a year to be with somebody else. You are to be exclusively his. That is the Christianity I believe in. That is the Christianity I seek to live. And that is the only Christianity that I preach, because that is the truth. Many people who just accept Christ, they've never committed themselves to them. In fact, many married people are more committed to their marriage partner than they are to Jesus Christ. I'll tell you that. You search your own heart. I believe all of you who are married here, all of you, will not want even 1 hour to be with another person other than your partner. I'm absolutely sure of that. You're loyal to your partner. Your marriage is a good marriage. But your marriage to Christ is not so loyal. A few hours you want to be with something else. You want to be something in the world. You want to be in, and the world is the other one who's always, that's the other man who's trying to attract the bride of Christ. Always. And the fact is, and I've seen it with many, many believers, that they go after that other man. Because that man offers them money. That man offers them an easier life without being so radically committed to Christ. That man says, "You don't have to settle everything in your life before you come to me. You go to Christ, you have to settle every wrong thing you ever did in your life." But he says, "Come to me, I won't ask you that. You can leave some things unsettled in your past life. Come to me, I'll still accept you. You can have debts that you never repay. Come to me." Jesus says, "No, you can't come to me if you have debts that you don't want to settle. If you've wronged other people and you don't want to ask forgiveness, this world says, come to me, I'll accept you. Christ says, no, I will not accept you. If there's somebody you wronged and you don't ask his forgiveness, sorry, I can't accept you. Jesus is very a demanding bridegroom. If there's somebody you cheated, if you cheated the government, Jesus says, you can't come to me. The world says, come. You can come to me. Why do you want to go to him? Come to me. I'll accept you with all the wrong things you did. You don't have to give it up. You don't have to settle anything. I'm telling you the truth. I've seen it through the years. I have to speak the truth because the Lord will ask me in the final day, did you tell them the whole truth? I say, yes, Lord, I did. But if they didn't obey it, that's their business. Jesus did not commit himself to them because he knew what was in man. Okay, let's turn back to Ephesians 1. Why did he bless us with all these blessings? Every blessing of the Holy Spirit. You know, a lot of people say, I want to be filled with the Holy Spirit. I want to tell you, my dear brother, sister, every single blessing of the Holy Spirit, Ephesians 1:3, is yours. But it will not be yours if you want this partial type of marriage to Christ. No. If yours is a 90% type of committal to Christ and 10% you're interested in something else, every blessing of the Holy Spirit is not yours. Probably no blessing of the Holy Spirit is yours. You can pray for the next 40 years to be baptized in the Holy Spirit. It will not happen. You'll get some fake experience that accomplishes nothing. But just like in your marriage, when you think of Christ, think of your marriage. How totally committed you are. I believe all of you, as I repeat, you are totally loyal to your husband, to your wife. You don't even think of another man or woman. Praise the Lord for such good marriages. I'm just inviting you to have exactly the same type of marriage to Christ and have nothing to do with the world that's always trying to attract you. And then you'll be baptized in the Holy Spirit like that in a moment. Not only that, every blessing of the Holy Spirit, verse 3, Ephesians 1:3, will be yours. And the reason is, not because you're so good, because he chose you before the foundation of the world. Do you know Ephesians 1:4 comes before Genesis 1 verse 1? Genesis 1 verse 1 is not actually the first verse in terms of history. Ephesians 1:4 comes even before that. And John chapter 1 verse 1 comes before that. In the beginning was the Word was with God, and the Word was God. At that time, God chose us in Christ before Genesis 1 verse 1. Let me read it like that. Before Genesis 1 verse 1, he chose us in Christ. And why did he choose us? Not to go to heaven. This crazy idea that so many believers have. I'm going to heaven. You know that Jesus never promised anyone heaven? Show me a verse in the Bible where Jesus promised he'll take you to heaven. He promised you eternal life. Come to me, I'll give you life, not I'll give you heaven. Search it. This is a false gospel that so many people have preached. It's because people don't read the Bible. Like I've often said this. If you can read in whatever language, and you got a Bible in your language, and you don't read it, and you don't study it, and you don't believe it, then you deserve to be deceived. Who are the people who deserve to be deceived and not know that they are deceived? Those who got a Bible in their language and they don't study it carefully. The purpose of all our preaching here in RLCF and in all of our CFC churches is to make sure you know the scriptures thoroughly. Because in many other churches, they don't preach it. I'm not giving interpretation. I'm just reading. I'm going. The only thing is, I'm going word by word. That's all. So that you get it thoroughly. That's all I'm doing. And explaining every word. I'm not preaching any new doctrine. But it just goes to show you how much you can find yourself If you go slowly, blessed is the man, it says in Psalm 1, not who reads the word, but who meditates on the word of God day and night. Whatever he does will prosper. I want such a life, that whatever I do will prosper. And immediately your mind goes to money. The world is so close to pull you away immediately. I'm not thinking of financial prosperity. I'm thinking of spiritual prosperity. That I'll prosper spiritually in my life. That I'll prosper spiritually in my family life. That my children will prosper again spiritually. That I'll prosper in my ministry, spiritual ministry. Zero. I'm not interested in financial prosperity. I say that before God. I'm not interested in financial prosperity. I'm totally interested in spiritual prosperity. That whatever I do, I will prosper spiritually. That my life will be a blessing to every person I meet in my entire life. That is spiritual prosperity. Tell me, do you want that or do you want a lot of money? Be honest before God. Tell him, Lord, I don't want a lot of money. I want to be a blessing to every person I meet in my life. That is spiritual prosperity. And I tell you, you will have what you want. What you deep, not what you say, but what you really want deep down in your heart. He chose us before the foundation of the world that we should be holy, not rich, not perfect, not even healthy, but holy and blameless before Him. Blameless before men. It's an easy thing. It's an external thing. I think most of us, if not all of us, are blameless before men. It counts for zero. I'm sorry to say that, but it counts for zero. Aim for this expression, blameless before Him. Did you see that? Blameless in His presence.